According to the National Center for Drug Abuse, over 165 million Americans ages 12 and up are currently abusing drugs or alcohol. Of those 165 million Americans, there is a mom, dad, sister, brother, wife, husband, son, daughter, or grandparent praying and pleading that they would stop. Addiction is a subject most people don't like to talk about and is kept behind closed doors. But the Finding Hope podcast will bring light to the subject and give families that are living in shame, guilt, hopelessness, fear, worry, and anger tools and education to find strength, peace, happiness, joy, and hope. Hello, I'm Amy LaRue, Finding Hope Coordinator for Hope is Alive Ministries and your host for this Finding Hope podcast. At Hope is Alive, our mission is to radically change the lives of drug addicts, alcoholics, and those who love them. We do this through our intentional next level sober living homes and faith-based support groups for the loved ones of addicts called Finding Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. But before we begin, I want to announce an upcoming event on September 7th that every person can get involved with. Finding Hope will present Run for Hope. This is formerly known as our sobriety sprint. In this year's event, we'll have both in-person options and virtual options you can join. This is a family-friendly event to honor those we have lost and spread hope to our communities. You can learn more at runforhoperace.com. And there you can register, honor your loved one, and sponsor this event. Today, we have Ms. Darcy Stevens back with us. And so I'm so excited to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Are you ready for end of the year school stuff?
Yeah, it's busy.
Yes.
Yes, very busy.
Very busy, especially with four kids, yeah. All of that. So, well, Darcy, I've had you on this quite a bit, and you've actually shared a lot about your husband's addiction and the impact Finding Hope had on you and your recovery through all of that. Just last month, we got back from our North Carolina retreat, which was an amazing time at the beach, but also just a great time. We're able to just be still in God's presence and with those that understood what we were going through. And Saturday evening, you shared about labels.
Yes.
That we wear. And so one thing I have talked to you and encouraged you as a friend is asking you about your time with your growing up with a mother that was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And you've shared a little bit with us, especially in the holiday, about being with your grandma and all of that. But at the retreat, as you were sharing with our attendees, I started to see your mask come off and started to see real, raw emotions from it, which is good. We've got to feel to heal.
Right.
We say that all the time. And you talked about these labels. And so I want you today to kind of talk about that. And you actually shared with us, and I'm not going to take your story from you, but you shared with it actually started the day you were born. So will you talk to our listeners about that?
Yes, absolutely. So my story with addiction literally started the day that I was born. I was born into a family where my birth father was an addict, and he was not a great man. And he actually caused my mom to go into preterm labor with me, causing me to go in, be born 2 months early. Mm-hmm. I weighed 3 pounds, 11 ounces, little bitty baby. And, you know, not too long after I was born, he signed over his rights to me, of me. He no longer wanted to be part of my life. And I just remember growing up knowing that.
Yeah.
And I unknowingly felt unloved and unworthy. And then, you know, when people hear their birth story, you know, your moms talk about it. You know, I share my kids' birth stories.
Oh, yeah, we all do.
How much I love them. And my mom, you know, said that she loved me, but constantly when she would tell the story, she would tell, say I was the ugliest newborn baby that she had ever seen.
Aww.
I mean, I was tiny, had no hair, no eyelashes, no fingernails, but still that stung. So, you know.
So that started without knowing, it started to put on that label of that in a sense, and that
Oh, I was ugly from the day I was born. Yeah. We all know right now that you're not ugly.
Right. So. Yes. Yes. So I carried that for a really long time. And then growing up, I knew my mom met an amazing man when I was two. And he's always told me, you know, he fell in love with me before he fell in love with my mom.
Aww.
And they got married. He adopted me. And so I always knew that I was adopted. But, you know, my mom got heavy in her addiction. And my dad just couldn't handle it anymore. And my mom was actually pregnant with my brother and they got a divorce. And those feelings of being unloved, being unworthy, not being enough came back when not knowing that they were there came back. Oh, I'm not good enough for my dad to stay around.
So were these just thoughts going on in your head?
Yeah.
And you're not verbalizing it. And you're just these thoughts. And we talked about like we have 60,000 thoughts a day.
Yes.
And 75 of them are negative.
Yes.
And so these negative thoughts are going in your head and you didn't really probably realize it at the time. The impact those are going to have.
Absolutely not. You mean you don't talk about it. You just feel all these things, you know, my dad didn't love me enough to stay or, just, you know, back then mom's got full custody and my dad was an every other weekend dad. And so, just living in that, you know, and then my mom being in her addiction and just the unhealthy relationships that she would have and the endangerment that she put my brother and I in. My mom eventually lost custody of my brother and I. And I remember when my mom was taking us to our dad and the car, I mean, she wasn't driving, my aunt was driving, but just telling my brother and I different things. And I remember what she was saying to me is, your dad doesn't love you. The only reason why he adopted you was because of your brother. You know, I knew these things weren't true, but you know, when you're hearing that and you're going through a big transition of leaving your mom and going to your dad again, I'm going into a place where, maybe my dad doesn't love me. Like he only wants me around because my brother and all of these things. And it was just really hard. So I remember when my dad had to pull us away from our mom because we were scared. Like, you know, I was 11. My brother was 4, I think, at the time. And so it was just a really hard time. And then wearing those labels. But I'm thankful my dad took my brother and I. Work sun up to sundown to provide for us, make sure we had a nice house and food on the table and all of that. But as I got older, more responsibility came on me. And I was the woman of the house. So, you know, I started to cook dinner for us all the time, made sure the house was always clean, making sure all the laundry was getting done. And of course, you know, doing my schoolwork. And I felt like I was never good enough. Like there was always something I did wrong and, or I could do this better or that better. So again, those feelings of being unworthy, not enough. He's commented on, not the way I looked, but my weight, you know, cause I struggle, you know, it's always been a struggle for me. So not pretty enough and all of those things. And, you know, my relationship with the Lord kind of felt, wasn't real strong at that time. So I just took those labels to heart and carried them throughout my teenage years. And then when I was 18, I met a guy who loved the Lord. And I'd prayed for that. You know, I wanted a guy who had a great relationship with the Lord and all of that. And I met my husband.
Okay. At 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
At 18. We got married and started, you know, got really involved in church and all of those things. And had our first baby. And then 6 months after our oldest son was born, my mom passed away. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And it was her addiction. You know, she literally drank herself to death. And I looked at my husband and I said, addiction will never touch our family. And I carried all of that, what I had growing up into my marriage. And 6 or 7 years later is when Scott's addiction started. So all those labels came back of, you know.
Did you feel like you were losing some of those after you guys got married? Or do you feel like there's still like thoughts in your mind about all that?
They were always in the back of my mind, but I tried to cover it up with serving in the church. Okay. I found my value in serving in church, being a mom, being a wife, not really.
So things on the outside you're filling it with.
Yeah, not really rooting it with who God says I am. And so just, you know, when you're the good little Christian girl, you have that checklist and that that defines who you are. And so, but I still had all those feelings in the back of my mind that would come up a lot, you know, a lot. Mm-hmm. And in my marriage and, you know, when Scott's addiction I've shared on here, you know, he struggled with his process addiction, which again, caused, you know, me to feel like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't worthy enough. I wasn't pretty enough. And all of those things. And then he left for treatment. And, you know, when you have somebody who leaves for treatment and it's your husband, you're like, thank you, Lord, please fix him.
Yes.
And the Lord said, hold on. Yes. Surrender him to me, but we got to work on you. I was like, what's wrong with me? I don't do any, don't do anything wrong. And that's when Jesus became my best friend. And I dove into the word. I dove into a step study, like learning, you know, areas that I had done wrong and replacing lies with truth. And just like surrounded myself, you know, the Lord removed every negative person in my life, but it placed very specific people in my life. So I surrounded myself with those people that spoke truth into me.
That's good.
And, which wasn't very many, but you know, just,
yeah, but you need those people. Yeah. Those are the people that help us survive.
Yes.
And thrive.
Yes. Yes. So, as I was just learning and, you know, I've said on here several times that journaling is one of my favorite ways to listen to the Holy Spirit and just have communication from him, like listening to what he says. And I just journaled and replaced the lies that the enemy was trying to take me out with God's truth and knowing I am a prized jewel. I am beautiful. I am a masterpiece and I am worthy and I am chosen. You know, at a young age, I was told, your story will help so many people. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, looking back, I'm like, my life is crazy as a kid. Like, this is not going to help anybody. But knowing my story does matter. I am chosen to help other wives, other families, other children of addicts as well. And, you know, it's not always perfect. It's not always easy. There's times where I still feel unworthy. But that's when I lean on the Lord and I say, okay, God, I'm struggling. I need you to remind me what you say about me. And, you know, being a part of Finding Hope has helped that as well. I say when I share my story that I've not only healed from Scott's addiction, but also starting to heal from my mom's. You know, there's a lot more deeper work that I need to do on that. And even my counselor and you have said that. So this weekend, I'm actually going to be doing some of that, which is scary, but I know I need to do it.
Got to rip that band-aid. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing that. So these labels you were wearing for so long, unworthy, not chosen, you know, all those things. You said you dug deeper into God's word and to find those truths. How hard, I mean, it's easy for us to talk about that right here, right? Mm-hmm. With everybody. But let's really talk through that process more. Like when you... Did you believe those truths at first, or what was the process in that, like ripping off those labels? Cause I know like it's hard, like still for me, like I wear labels. I have to make sure I'm ripping off. Right.
Yeah.
So how did you do that?
I had to go back and remember when I gave my life to the Lord. Okay. Because I was in the middle of my mom's addiction and the craziness of it all. And my grandma took me to church as often as she could on Wednesdays, on Wednesdays, and to Awanus.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, with the vest, and you get this, you know, the patches when you do your verses. And the week that I gave my life to the Lord, our memory verse was John 3:16. And I memorized it, said it to my teacher. And then after class, we go and wait for our person who's picking us up to come pick us up, and everybody was running around. And I just remember thinking, God loves me so much that he gave his son for me. And I'd never experienced that kind of love. You know, I knew my parents loved me, but he loved me unconditionally, loved me right where I was at, and loved me before I knew who I was. You know, mm-hmm. he knew who I was. He knew what he was doing. He loved me. And I was like, I have to give my life to the Lord. He loves me that much. And so through growing up in a house with addiction and then being in, you know, my own home as an adult, having addiction, I had to go back to that and mm-hmm. remind myself.
And that's a verse so many people know, yeah. right? John 3, God, for God so loved the world, right? He yeah. gave us one. Like so many times I think we're just numb to that verse in a right. sense. But really, like you were saying, when you sit down, say it slowly, mm-hmm. not rush through it, remembering going back, God so loved, he gave his son. I'm a part of this world. Like that is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I just had to go back and remember how much he loved me. And then as I dug into other verses of, you know, knowing that I am loved, God showed me, you know, the verse, I'm a masterpiece. He makes no mistakes. He knew me in my mother's womb before, yeah. you know, my mom knew me or my dad knew me, and knowing that he pieced every part of me together, you know, the way I look, my personality, all of those things. And, you know, I'm worthy of his love and I'm worthy of the calling he's placed on my life. I'm worthy to be a mom. I'm worthy to be a wife. I'm worthy of all of those things. And it's hard. You know, you just have to be vulnerable with him.
Yeah.
You know, we say at Finding Hope, be vulnerable to each other, but you have to be like, have those conversations with the Lord.
And I like that conversation. I think so many times we think, oh, it has to be this all fancy prayer, but no, like he wants to sit down just like us right now. Right. And yeah. have this conversation, us talk to him, be real and be raw. This is how I'm feeling, Lord. Like he already knows how we're feeling, but he wants us to, we know how a lot of times we can see it on people's faces, yes. how they're feeling.
Yeah.
But there's just so much healing that comes when you could speak it out and mm-hmm. speak out the truth. And so just sitting down. So you went back to God to the day you gave your life to the Lord, that he loves you. You speak to him about it, telling him how you're feeling and get reminded of the truth. Mm-hmm. Right. What else? Anything else?
You know, being more aware of who I put myself around as well. You know, I constantly went back to friendships that didn't speak life over me and looked at the negative or looked at what our marriage was struggling with and would constantly speak those things. Mm-hmm. So I needed people to, who were also rooted in the Lord and knew what I was going through, finding that community of people who understand what our family is going through. And just surrendering to the Lord yeah. every day.
Well, and I think loving someone with a substance use disorder, you know, it's very easy when they're in their addiction, when they're in their active addiction. I spoke about this a little bit at our Finding Hope retreat in Oklahoma about narcissistic behaviors. Mm-hmm. They a lot of times have that narcissistic behaviors. We don't want to label them narcissistic. Right. That's not our job, but it can come across. And then we start to believe these things that they're telling us, mm-hmm. right? And we start to wear them. And so one thing I really encouraged people in my breakout session is we can write them out, write out the truth. And you had them do that at the mm-hmm. retreat, like write out their labels, take it off. But I think it's also important that whether it's on your mirror in the bathroom in the morning, in your car, on your phone, you get those reminders of, I mean, we get reminders all the time. Our alarms go off to remind us, okay, we need to go pick up the kids. We need to go do this and that. We need to set reminders on our phones that say, I am worthy. Yes. I am chosen. I am loved. And we might not look at it. We're like, oh, it's that thing again. But we'll in our mind, we know what it's saying. Yeah. But also it's so important. There's so much healing that can come when we speak things out loud. Mm-hmm. We can read it, but when we speak it out loud, the truth starts and it talks all about the rewiring of our brain mm-hmm. and that our brain can start to get rid of those negative thoughts, yeah. those, you know, 75%, maybe we can start making it more 50 and then 25, right, you know, learning right. how to replace that. And so I still remember something my husband said to me And it was hard. And I just wanted to lash back at him. Like, and that wasn't my husband. That was his disease speaking. Yeah. And I want you guys to listen, hear that and hear that heart. Like, that's not your loved one speaking that. Right. But you still need to have those boundaries. I walked away. Actually, yeah. I got in my car and I just drove to Walgreens. I didn't know where else I was going. I just sat in the parking lot at Walgreens and cried. But we have to give ourselves permission, have those boundaries, and then call on somebody if that happens and speak those truths, speak truth, have people speak truth to you and reminding us of those and take off those labels that we have put on or maybe yeah. someone else has put on us for us because that's not from God.
Right.
You
right.
know, that's the enemy wanting us to believe those lies mm-hmm. and get further and further away from God in yeah. the truths.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share about that?
Just, you know, the enemy wants to still kill and destroy. Mm-hmm. And if he can have those seeds of doubt of who we are, who we think we are, he can totally keep us from the plan that God has for us. And he has a plan just for you, or the Lord has a plan just for you. And so just have, like Amy said, have daily reminders, of knowing who you are in Christ and believe what he says about you. Cause his plan and purpose for you is divine and just mm-hmm. for you. And, greater is he who's in the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I like to end with a challenge. Mm-hmm. First of all, thank you so much for sharing and being transparent. And I'll be praying for you yes. this weekend as you dig deeper because you and I are still in this path of recovery yeah. and healing ourselves. And so I'm so proud of you. And I know the Lord will do great things through that. And I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And so my challenge would be kind of like you gave we did at the retreat mm-hmm. is she actually had labels of hello, my name is based off that Matthew West song. Yes. And we wrote out what labels we are carrying around with us. So our challenge would be to write out those labels, mm-hmm. write them down, look at them, rip them apart then, mm-hmm. and then write down the truths. What are those truths? What does God's word say?
Right.
Lean on God, write it down, set those reminders, read those truths every day. When that negative thought comes in, quickly replace it with the truth.
Right.
And don't get stuck in that negativity yeah. or those labels that so many of us have carried since birth, mm-hmm. right? You said since birth, mm-hmm. when your mom told your story and when your birth dad, you know, wrote off his rights, you know? So thank you again. You're welcome. I appreciate it. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. And we would love for you to get connected to Finding Hope. And you can learn more at findinghope.today. And also don't forget to learn more about our upcoming Run for Hope at runforhoperace.com. We would also love for you to give us a 5-star review, share this on social media, and subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss our next hope-filled episode. Thanks again for joining me, Amy LaRue, and our guest, Darcy Stevens, on this episode of Finding Hope. And remember, you are not alone. It's not your fault. And there is hope.